This is the Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Let's say your house is powered by solar panels. When the sun is not shining, you're probably getting power from the grid. When you're producing too much power, you're feeding some of that excess energy back into the grid. But what is this thing called the grid? Irina Zhorov is here now, our science reporter, to explain all of that. Hey, Irina.
Hi, Maiken. So the grid has four main elements. You ever pass by a giant nuclear or coal plant?
Sure.
Okay, so let's start there. The plant makes the energy, which moves along high voltage transmission lines. Those are the tall steel towers that bzzz when you get close to them. From there, the electricity travels to the lower voltage cables running between utility poles. So those are the poles you see on your street. And finally gets to you, the customer. So all those parts make up the grid.
All right. So power plant, power lines, high and low, me, the consumer. Who runs this thing? Or is it more than one grid?
So we actually have three grids in the U.S., one in the eastern U.S., one in the west, and one in Texas. Different sections of the three grids are run by different third-party neutral entities. The government thought it would be a good idea to have a neutral overseer, just so the customer doesn't get ripped off.
All right. How do renewables fit into the grid? Why is the grid so important to this?
So to answer that, I visited a company called PJM. It's one of these overseeing entities. They're in a pretty plain corporate park building in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. It's a suburb of Philadelphia. PJM runs a section of the Eastern Power Grid that includes 13 states and Washington, D.C. I passed through a bunch of security to see a room with huge screens displaying colorful curves, numbers, live camera feeds, maps, graphs. There, I meet a PJM manager named Chris Pilong.
The hardest thing when people come into this room is to tell them, don't be completely sort of starstruck by it or awestruck by it. Your eye has no idea where to go when you first come into this room.
This is true. A handful of employees are watching the curves inch along and the numbers flicker.
So what you can see here on the multitude of different displays and video walls is the overview of the power grid.
PJM doesn't own the grid. They run it, which means they keep it balanced. The amount of electricity generators are putting onto the grid has to almost exactly match what consumers are using at any given moment. So PJM is this kind of overseeing wizard that tracks how much consumers are using, then calls up generators like coal or nuclear plants and tells them to ramp up or slow down production.
It's supply and demand.
Think of it as a pipeline. If you pump too much water into a pipe, it could burst. Too little, and the trickle may never reach its destination. If that balance is out of whack on the grid, we could have a blackout. I'm here on a Friday afternoon, and the people in the control room do not seem fazed by this possibility.
Typically, your business is starting to shut down on a Friday afternoon. Things are a little bit more calm, a little bit quieter. You're bringing your generators down. It's a little bit easier.
It's also pretty mild outside. No need for major heating or air conditioning.
It's really temperatures and sort of human behavior that drive the demand.
And the more renewable energy sources feed the grid, the harder it is to run.
It adds another source of variability and uncertainty to the resource mix.
That's Aaron Bloom with the National Renewable Energy Laboratory. Nuclear plants provide steady streams of power. They're predictable. A gas plant can power up or down quickly, so it's flexible. But a gust of wind, the sun, they're harder to deal with because they're neither.
While we do know when the sun is going to rise and set every day, we don't exactly know how the clouds are going to formulate.
So grid operators have to adjust. First, because renewables depend on nature, weather and power forecasting need to improve, which is already happening. Having more flexible power plants to easily fill in when nature isn't cooperating is also key.
The other thing that you're probably going to see built is more transmission.
He's talking about those high voltage power lines. First, many wind and solar farms are really remote. And new transmission would allow electricity to travel farther across an hour. A transmission line is like a smooth, wide highway where lots of traffic can travel far, fast. Why is that important? Well, the Eastern Grid includes both New York City and Colorado.
So there's a lot of time between there, and when the sun peaks in New York is different than when it peaks in Colorado.
So when Colorado's peaking at electricity production, it could be the New Yorkers peaking at consumption as they sit down for dinner or turn on their TVs after work. Better transmission lines could help smooth out the supply and demand system-wide. Another issue yet to be resolved is storage. Renewables working at peak conditions can produce tons of energy, but the grid can't store it for another day, says Bloom.
There's a lot of new promising technologies that help us get, you know, 4 or 6 or maybe 8 hours of storage, so you could charge them up during the day when the sun is shining. But what we don't have yet for storage is this multi-week, multi-day seasonal storage. That still is pretty elusive.
Bloom says that last piece isn't as important until we really start seeing a lot of renewables on the grid. So that's not happening yet, but more renewables are coming online, and the grid will have to keep up.